Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
Hey, as you know, we are in a series called Who, What, Where, and Why. And we said, who is... Hey, there we go. Why we believe the... Hey, there we go. You guys are taking notes. Okay. And today, we have our...
What?
What? All right, there she is. What? What do we do with this Christian life anyway? And so we are so grateful and thankful, and we have a speaker coming who is no stranger to Gen Life, of course. She is one of the pioneers, one of the trailblazers, one of the trendsetters here at Gen Life. And so I just want you guys to put your hands together, give a warm, strong welcome as she comes to bring the word. And I'm talking about Molly Stillman, everybody. Come on, put your hands together.
I just heard the beat, but it just kind of made me want to do a little bit of this, like Night at the Roxbury. Y'all know? I wasn't planning on preaching in my jacket, but it is cold. I don't have my Browns cup today. I know, they lost in the playoffs, but I do have my Sawasawa cup. And if you're like, what is Sawasawa? Josephine, do you know Sawasawa? Do you know Sawasawa? You know Sawasawa. Okay, so it's a Kenyan, like, slang phrase that basically is like this all-encompassing, like you can just be like, ah, Sawasawa. Like if something goes wrong, you go, ah, Sawasawa. But you're like, how are you? Ah, Sawasawa. Like it's a very all-encompassing phrase. It's one of my favorite phrases when I go to visit my Kenyan family. And Megan made this for me for my birthday a few years ago. So I just taught you some it's like, is it Swahili? Yeah, it's Swahili. It's like a Swahili slang, Sawasawa. So you didn't even know you were going to learn some Swahili today. Head on over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're doing that, I want to give a brief introduction to the Bible for those of you in the room who might be new to the Bible. So the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament gives us a record of God's chosen people, Israel, and it tells us about their need for a rescuer or a redeemer, and they use the word Messiah. Now, the second part of the Bible, the New Testament, we find out that the Messiah is here. His name is Jesus, and he is not just a prophet or a teacher or a really good man, but he is God's own son, God in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless human life and died a brutal sacrificial death on the cross. But the story didn't end there because 3 days later he raised from the dead, and he demonstrates that resurrection is a promise and a reality. And Jesus's followers, known as the disciples, were so overwhelmed by this fact that he was raised from the dead that they went to the ends of the earth and they would tell anyone who would listen that Jesus is the path to salvation, and that if you believe in him, you can have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life with Christ into eternity. And we here at Generation Life Church, we preach that very same message today, and it's called the gospel, which means good news. So we're in the third week of our series, Why, Who, What, and Where. And I have loved this series so much. How many of you guys have just loved this series? It's been so good. Yes. Yes, Keith brought some fire messages those first 2 weeks, and we talked about why we believe the Bible, why do we believe that this book we talk about every single week is true. We talked about who is Jesus. I still can't get over the line that Keith had in his sermon last week with the you can't have the stanky leg out in the world. When Keith did this, I lost it. I've been laughing about it. Like, I told him how much I loved it. It just made my entire year. But I love starting 2024 off just getting back to the foundation of our faith, getting back to the basics. And so today, like he said, we're talking about the what. So it's kind of an if this then what scenario. So if the Bible is true, if we believe Jesus to be who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, what do we do with that reality? What is our next step in walking out the Christian life? And so today we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to give some really important context to what we're reading. So the book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, and it is one of his most confrontational letters. And it is to the church in Corinth, and he does not hold back in these letters. Because the Corinthian churches were dealing with a host of issues. Political issues, sexuality issues, spiritual issues, doctrinal issues, cultural issues. They were creating these dividing lines of race, economics, and status. They were suing each other in court. They were a hot mess, and Paul was having absolutely none of it. And they were struggling to live distinctly as a church. They were struggling to be unified. And Paul loved these churches because he actually lived with them for about a year and a half while he was helping to grow the churches. And after he left, he began to hear of all these issues arising because the church was disjointed and it was in danger. And so Paul writes this letter, and he is directly and very firmly, yet patiently and lovingly addressing them in the hopes of reunifying them. But we have to be honest with ourselves. The issues that the Corinthian church were dealing with are not that different from the issues that our church faces today and the church globally. So this book is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so that brings us to where we are in chapter 12, where Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. And the Corinthian church had begun to create these hierarchies of giftings. They were categorizing and regarding people as more important or others as dispensable, because the people had begun to take the gifts that God had given them, and they were promoting disunity, which is the very antithesis of the gospel. So that's our context, and Paul does something absolutely brilliant to address this. So we're going to start in verse 12 and go all the way through 31. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our respectable parts, are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all the prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church, this most beautiful church that is your body. God, we're not here to be entertained today. We're not here to be self-serving, but Lord, we are here to learn more about you, to glorify you in all that we say and do. Lord, if there's anything in my message that is not of you, may it fall away. And Lord, would you just speak through me and ask all these things in Jesus Christ? May you increase as I decrease. Amen. So I turned 38 in August, which may surprise some of you because of my excellent skincare routine. I've always been an active person, but I have never loved to work out. But a couple of years ago, I joined a gym called Burn Boot Camp. Anybody know Burn Boot Camp? Love Burn Boot Camp. And it was the very first time I had actually enjoyed working out. I looked forward to it. And I was going about 4 or 5 times a week regularly. And about a year into it, I started to realize that my left foot was really hurting. We did a lot of jumping type exercises, like jump rope, jump squats, hurdle hops, burpees, all those kinds of things. And I figured one day, like, maybe I just landed on my foot wrong, and so my foot started hurting. But I'm a mom and I'm busy. Like, I don't have time to like go get it checked out. And so I just ignored it. All the PTs in the room are like, "Oh heavens, I know. I'm really sorry. I learned my lesson." Okay. Well, it should come as no surprise. It did not get better on its own. It turned out my hurt foot was actually a highly severe case of plantar fasciitis. And if you've never had plantar fasciitis, let me just tell you, it is incredibly painful. And so it went undiagnosed for a very long time. And so I kept working out. And because I kept working out with a hurt foot, I overcompensated, and guess what happened? I hurt my knees. And I tore a ligament in my knee, and guess what happened? I ignored that too. I know. I got like a cheap brace from the store, and I thought like, that'll do the trick. It did not. And then, guess what? My hurt knee, which is not really any better now, but it's fine. We'll talk about it another day. It hurts so bad from my overcompensation that it made my sciatica flare up. And then my sciatica flare up, because I was born with scoliosis, made my scoliosis flare up, which made my TMJ flare up, which gave me migraines. I'm telling you, my body was falling apart. I 0 stars, do not recommend. And this all started because I was trying to get healthier and get in shape. My body was falling. Like, it's okay. We can laugh at this. Like, it was absurd. Even I remember John was like, "Is this what's supposed to happen when you go to the gym?" And I was like, "This is why I shouldn't work out." But the human body is amazing. Everything in the body is connected. And each part of our bodies serve a unique and distinct function, and yet they all carry the same DNA sequence. And when one part of the body is thrown off, it can throw the entire rest of the body off. And so we're here in 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul is addressing these big issues in the church using this brilliant analogy between the church and the human body. And what he's saying is, the church is the body of Christ. And all of us, every single one of us, play a unique part in that body, and all of us are intricately connected to each other. But the church cannot and should not be established on the charisma or the personality or the giftings of any one person. The church is to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when we realize this, that's how the church flourishes. And consequently, like, that's how we flourish. Because you and me, when we come to faith in Jesus and we surrender our lives to him and we're baptized into the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we're each given unique giftings that are not for ourselves to hoard and to just put on a shelf, but they're for the common good and building up of the body. And that same Spirit gives different gifts, and those gifts to work together inside the body of Christ. And those gifts are subject to however God would have us use them. Many of y'all know my favorite verse in all of Scripture is 1 Peter 4:10. If you've ever been behind me at a stoplight, you know it's on my license plate, it's on my necklace, it hangs in my office. And it says, "Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God." And I love it goes on in verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So we're to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. These gifts of grace are given to us not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of serving the body of Christ. And that word there in that verse, serve, literally translates to minister to attend to anything that might serve someone else's interests. And it's the same word that's used in Matthew 20 and 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So once you come to faith in Jesus, congratulations, you're in ministry. Did you know that? You're in ministry. Every believer is a minister of Jesus Christ, and he has a particular task for you to fill. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about what your gifting or your giftings might be, because we all have a natural penchant towards certain things like art or writing or speaking or teaching or hospitality or gardening, or maybe you're like really good at spreadsheets. Abby Tenali, I'm looking at you. Maybe you have the gift of music. What has God gifted you with that you could use to serve the body of Christ? And I love that Johann Sebastian Bach wrote on every single musical composition, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Now, I don't want you to sit there and say, but I'm not Bach. I don't have flashy gifts. But remember, Paul is telling them in this chapter that there's no hierarchy of gifts. Although all gifts are important to the body, some gifts may bear more responsibility and consequences than others, but you have gifts and those gifts matter. And way more often than not, we overcomplicate this. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above. There's that word that we've been talking about this year. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Not some gifts, every gift. Now, some of you might fall into a couple of camps. So you might be like when Paul says in verse 16, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. You're downplaying your gifts. You're sitting on your gifts. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we learned that Derek Stutz apparently sings. Like, what? Okay? I love even thinking back to the beginning of when this church started, seeing how uniquely God brought together people with their gifts. Becky Herman with kids, and Abby Tenalia with tax and nonprofit experience, and Megan with worship, and Chelsea with communication, and Leslie Van Horn with hugs and baked goods. Can we get an amen? I mean, Ronnie and Luann with prayer, and Mark Terrell with his Tetris skills. I'm telling you, I could go like on for hours about the people in this church who use their gifts so uniquely. I mean, it was like God uniquely put these incredible people together to start this church. My husband apparently plays like 9 instruments now, okay? And like for a lot of you always comment, like if you remember him at New Hope Hillsborough, he was always known for standing like this in worship, and now he is like jamming out there. But God did this so seamlessly and intentionally. And so, but I'm also betting that there are a lot of you that have gifts. And we're going to be talking about this a little bit more next week. But I want you to be kind of praying about that. But I want you to think about the fact, are you sitting on a gift? Are you sitting on a gift? Or you might be in another camp. This camp might step on some toes where you don't want to admit it. But you might be thinking your gift is maybe more important than someone else's. Like in Paul, what Paul says in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Every part of the body is crucial. The whole body works together. I mean, even in the human body, I don't think a whole lot about my intestines until my intestines are in turmoil. Great. Y'all know what I mean? But you know, there is one part of the body that only serves itself. It doesn't do anything for any other part of the body. It doesn't serve the rest of the body. It only takes, it only cares for, and feeds and cares about growing itself. And you know what part of the body that is? Cancer. Don't be a cancer in the body of Christ. God has placed you specifically in the body to be a blessing to his church and to others. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? I love this quote by theologian Charles Spurgeon. If you can't say amen, say ouch. But I love it. It says, I want every member of this church to be a worker. We do not want any drones. Any beekeepers in here? We have bees. Have you learned about drones, like worker bees? And anyway, that's not part of the quote. This is the quote. If there are any of you who want to eat and drink and do no Christian work, there are plenty of places elsewhere. There are empty pews in abundance. Go and fill them. Every Christian is either a bee or a wasp. The most quarrelsome people, the wasps, are the most useless. Those who are the most happy and peaceable, the bees, are generally those who are doing the most for Christ. Like I said, if you can't say amen, say ouch. But it's true. We are going to dive more into this, like I said, next week when Chelsea brings the word. Y'all give it up for Chelsea. Where we talk about where. But I want you guys to be thinking about this. This is important. Where do we serve in the church? And so I want you to be praying this week, thinking about what area of our church God might be calling you to serve in. Where might he be calling you to use and steward your gifts for the building up of his kingdom and not sitting on them or putting them on a shelf? So point number one, we are to use our gifts for the glory of God. Amen. So what the Corinthian church was doing and what we tend to do ourselves as sinful humans is we create these dividing lines between us based on our gifts or our roles or status or economics or whatever. And those lines are unbiblical. They're unnecessary and they lead to chaos. And I think more often than not, we're not doing it consciously, but what we are actually doing is we are dismembering the body of Christ. And the result is that we are isolating ourselves from the body, from one another. And we set ourselves up for loneliness. And our loneliness further isolates us from those around us. It becomes this vicious cycle where the more we isolate ourselves, the more lonely we are. And the more lonely we are, the more we isolate ourselves. And when we are lonely and isolated, that's right where the enemy wants us. Because we are dismembered from the body of Christ. And we aren't doing the thing that we were created to do and using the gifts we were created to use. And so I have a moment of honesty here. And I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you have felt lonely? You don't have to raise your hand. But I heard loneliness recently defined as feeling like you are someone who used to have friends. There is a pandemic of loneliness that has taken over our culture. And I don't know if you've actually, this is a real thing. But the truth is, our loneliness has not happened to us overnight. There are all these societal changes that have contributed to our isolation. For example, think about like a generation ago. There was this much stronger sense of community. And when I was a kid, I went outside when the sun rose, and I stayed outside, and I played all day, and I drank water from a water hose, where it is boiling lava hot at first when it comes out. Probably has like lead in it. Some random neighborhood mom would like feed us a snack. And then when the street light came on, what'd you do? You went home. That's right. Or how about this? How many of you remember the mornings where your parents or your grandparents would shuffle to the end of the driveway in their robe and their coffee in their hand, their slippers, and they'd get what? The newspaper. And what are the other neighbors doing? Getting the paper. And isn't it a nice day, Carl? Yeah, sure is, Frank. Like, and you're having conversations, you're in community, you're reading the same paper. So you're getting the same news from the same source. You're getting the same news from the same source rather than every neighbor getting their news source from which one they want. And so there was this sense of connection. People found identity in their community and not what they did for a living. Social media has given us this false sense of connection because people don't know us. They know what we want them to know. And the COVID pandemic only made it worse because it accelerated us drifting away from life, from relationships, and from church. And the pandemic of loneliness has gotten so pervasive that the irony is the U.S. Surgeon General released an 82-page advisory report about the pandemic of loneliness last year. I skimmed it. It's a doozy. But it reports that 1 in 2, 50% of American adults report feeling lonely. That's statistically half this room. The Surgeon General shared that the increase in loneliness is bad for individual and societal health. People who identify themselves as feeling lonely are at a much greater risk of heart disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. The studies show that chronic loneliness contributes to premature death at levels comparable to smoking over half a pack of cigarettes a day. Loneliness hurts the body. But on the flip side, people who considered themselves connected through close personal relationships, people who serve in their community, who are involved in and connected to a local faith community, or families who eat dinner together on a regular basis, those people showed improved heart and brain health and vastly lower rates of anxiety and depression. Being connected to others is healing to the body. How many of y'all have seen the Blue Zone documentary on Netflix? If you haven't, it's fascinating. I actually got kind of turned into the direction of learning about blue zones a few years ago. I'm not going to go into a whole bunch about it. But blue zones are essentially these sections around the world where there's the high, incredibly high pocket of centenarians. So people who are living to be over 100 years old. One's in Loma Linda, California. There's one in Greece, one in Italy, Okinawa, Japan. I can't remember. There's one in Costa Rica. And they looked at, these scientists wanted to, why are so many people in this area living to be over 100? And so, of course, diet was a factor, just environment, they're all very active. But every single community are people who are connected to each other. They're involved in worship in their local community. They all wake up every day with a purpose. They serve. It was fascinating. It's a fascinating documentary. Highly recommend it. But the thing is, we didn't need a documentary or the Surgeon General to tell us that being lonely isn't good for us. Because God already told us that back in Genesis 1 and 2. When God created the heavens and the earth, the night and the day, the water and the land, the living creatures, he said, these things are good. And then he created man in his image and he looked at the man and he said, wait a second, my dude's alone. This is not good. Genesis 2:18. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. And I had never thought about this until I was preparing this message. And maybe you haven't either. But we can be lonely with God. I want you to sit with that for a minute. We can be lonely with God. Adam had it all. He had perfection. He had the plants and the animals and the garden to work and to tend to. He had communion and intimacy with God face to face. And God said, you're lonely. He said, it's not good. And he said, I have a plan. And so God creates Eve, this third person in the equation. Adam and Eve could have community with each other and community with God. And think about it, even our triune God, the Trinity, which Keith has talked about the last couple weeks as well, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all in relationship with one another. I don't know if you ever catch that in the beginning when it says, when God says, let us make mankind in our image. That's plural. God created us to be a direct reflection of the Trinity in community. We are in relationship with God and with others. He created us for one another and for community. And in unified community, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Now, you might be thinking to yourselves potentially a couple of things. Number one, you might be thinking, Molly, I'm really lonely. And I don't know how to be in community with others. Making friends as an adult is really hard. Or you might be thinking, Molly, what does being lonely have to do with spiritual gifts? and the gifts that God has given us? Like, how are these two messages connected? I'm glad you asked. Because in response to the pandemic of loneliness, everyone, you can read about it anywhere, is talking about community. Community, community, community. And churches are talking about community. The Surgeon General's website has all these tips for how to combat loneliness. I kid you not, this is straight from the website. It says, answer a phone call from a friend. Share a meal with someone. Listen to others. Serve and volunteer. It's almost like those things are biblical. But I would go so far as to say that for us as Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Christ, I would actually say community is not the goal. And you're like, what? That just like contradicts everything you said, Molly. I need you to hear me out. Because each of us are parts of the body of Christ. Community is not the goal. Remember back in Matthew 22 when Jesus was asked, teacher, which command of the law is the greatest? And he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So what do we do with it? How do we walk this Christian life? When we come to faith in Jesus, when we believe the Bible is true, when we believe Jesus is our Savior, the next step isn't community. The next step, our primary goal must be the love of and pursuit of Jesus, who is the lifeblood of the body. Amen. But think about it. Our blood, like think about what your blood literally does. It circulates through every part of your body. Our blood brings oxygen and nutrients to our organs and our skin and our brain and our eyes, all with the purpose of keeping them healthy. Blood is in every nook and cranny of our body. If you wrap a rubber band around your finger, you cut off the circulation, what's going to happen eventually? It's going to fall off. It falls asleep. And if we all, you and me, if we are all parts of the body of Christ, if we tie this kind of metaphorical rubber band around ourselves, if we let the enemy, which becomes a rubber band, tie it around ourselves, we cut ourselves off from pursuing the blood of Jesus, if we stop allowing him to live in and through us, we will die off from the body of Christ. And if we're drawing nearer to him and being obedient to him and utilizing his gifts that he's given us to serve his body, then we can become a healthy part of the body. And then after that, so we love God. What's the second part? We love others. We love God and we love others. That's point number two. We love God and we love others. Paul reminds us of that here in this section of scripture because, you see, there's something really cool that maybe you haven't noticed before. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, he ends the chapter on a cliffhanger. He says, but desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. Huh? It's kind of like there should be a dot, dot, dot there. But you know what comes right after that? What is the continuation of Paul's thought there? It's a passage of scripture, you've heard it probably every wedding you've ever been to. The love chapter. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all my possessions and if I give over my body in order to boast but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So yeah, this passage is beautiful when read in the context of marriage, but I would go so far as to say that it is even more beautiful when we realize that it is in the context of the body of Christ. Because Paul is talking about the fact that we can use our spiritual gifts all day long. We can be using our spiritual gifts, but if we're not loving God, if we're not loving others, we're nothing. Community isn't the goal. Love is. Not community, because when we do that, when we love others, when we love God, community becomes a byproduct of that love. Community and flourishing relationships are the byproduct of every part of the body of Christ loving Jesus and loving one another, right? Remember how I told you that little story at the beginning about how my little case of plantar fasciitis led to a knee injury, which led to sciatica, which led to my back hurt and TMJ and all that. One part of my body was hurting and I ignored it. But what it did was it just ended up hurting the entire body. Some of you in this room right now, you are a hurting part of the body of Christ. And for far too long, you've either felt ignored by the rest of the body, or you've allowed the lies of the enemy to come in and isolate you from the rest of the body. You've struggled to allow the blood of Jesus to wash over you and in you and through you and make you into a new creation. And others of you, you might be struggling to know what part of the body you are and what God's called you to or how to use your giftings for the church. Now, there are a couple things coming up that I want to call a quick attention to that are a good kind of first next step. First, Keith mentioned Rooted. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. Sign up for Rooted today. You can go to generationlifechurch.com/rooted. And even if you have done Rooted before, do it again. Because Rooted, what you're doing is you're getting in groups with other parts of the body of Christ and you're pursuing God. You're loving God and you're loving others. Gen Life men, we're the men in here. I want to hear like a, give me like a Tim Allen, like, you know. You've got a men's group starting on February 15th. And then on March 8th and 9th, there's a men's retreat that is happening in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm going to an awesome conference. I think Craig Rochelle and Tim Tebow are speaking, a couple other really incredible speakers. Men, this is a great next step for you. There's going to be information at the Orange Tent after service where you can sign up. Or Derek Stutz, who's on Cajon, you can ask him any questions. Women, we've got our annual retreat coming up in April. You can register today. This is a shameless plug. And then also I want you to mark your calendars. Friday, February 16th, we're going to be doing a worship and prayer night at Fairview Baptist Church right down the road on 70. And that's going to be a great opportunity for women just, again, to come together and to run after Jesus, to love God and to love others. And like I said, of course, I want you to be thinking about next week where we're going to be talking about serving in the church, what areas of the church you can get plugged into. So these are plenty of opportunities for you to be intentional, but what you are doing, again, is you are chasing after God alongside others in the body of Christ. You're loving God and you're loving others. You're serving God and you're serving others, and community becomes that byproduct. And so lastly, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask each of you to be a little vulnerable. So you should have received an index card when you walked in. If you did not receive an index card, raise your hand and we'll make sure to get one to you. If you need a pen, I think we've got some extra pens. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to write on that index card. Again, this is going to take a step of vulnerability, a step of faith, a step of putting yourself out there. And what I want you to do is on that index card, I want you to write your first name, and I want you to write your cell phone number. And then on that card, I want you to write a prayer request for you. This is not a prayer request for your mom or your sister or your husband or your wife or your kids. This is a prayer request for you. So often we are really quick to ask for prayer for other people. This is an opportunity for you to ask for prayer for yourself. If you are a hurting part of the body of Christ, this is an opportunity for you to write down a prayer request for yourself. So again, your first name, your cell phone number, and your prayer request. And then the worship team, I don't know I'm going to have the worship team come on out. Y'all come on out. And so we're going to go into the last song. And while that's happening, here's what I want you to do. is I want you to bring your card up to the stage. Again, I realize I'm asking some of you to really step outside of your comfort zone, but I'm challenging you today, okay? It's because I love you. I want you to bring your card up to the front of the stage, and I want you to place it on the stage. You can take a couple of moments. If you need prayer, like, take a moment to kneel, to pray, to ask someone standing by you to pray for you or pray with you. This is an opportunity. But then before you go back to your seat, and I realize it might be a hair chaotic for a second, so we're going to be worshiping. It's all right. It's all good. I want you to take someone else's card. So you don't go back to your seat with your card. You go back to your seat with someone else's card. Don't worry. Everyone's card's going to get taken, okay? And then what's going to happen is I need y'all to make me a promise, okay? We're all family in here, so I need y'all to make me a promise. Before you leave today or when you get home today, but before you go to bed tonight, I want you to text that person. You don't have to say who you are. You don't have to give them your name. But I just want you to let them, just encourage them and say, hey, I got your card. I'm praying for you. And then over the next couple weeks, month, send them a worship song you're listening to. Send them a verse of scripture. Just check in. It doesn't have to be complicated. Like, I'm not saying you have to, oh my gosh, now I have to text a person 8 times a week. No, just periodically. Hey, I want you to let you know, this body of Christ is checking in on you. This part of the body is just checking in on you. And you know that whatever prayer you leave up here, you know somebody else is praying for you. So every part of the body of Christ is being cared for. Every part of the body of Christ is being prayed for. Okay? So like I said, take your time. Don't stress out. This is an opportunity for us to love one another. If a friendship forms out of your little text exchange, great, awesome. That's not the goal. Right now, loving others is the goal. Serving others is the goal. Thinking about somebody else is the goal. Ministering to someone else is the goal.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.